Hi, this is Jeff Bam from DoomBuggies.com, and when I'm not picking up hitchhiking ghosts, I'm listening to Tony, Sid, and Krista on the Disney Parks Podcast.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Disney Parks Podcast. Disney Parks Podcast is your source for Disney Parks news and information from the Disney parks around the globe, including in-depth interviews with your favorite Hatbox Ghost fans, and so much more. Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Parkhopper Sid, and I come to you from www.parkhoppers.com and teamparkhoppers.com. As always, we are joined by the amazing Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com.
We have 999 happy haunts here.
And the lovable, the huggable, Mr. Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com.
But there's room for one more. Any volunteers?
We've got a great show for you today. Krista, can you tell everyone more about what's in store for them?
Thanks, Sid. I sure can. Our guest today is the author of The Unofficial History of Disney's Haunted Mansion. He has years of involvement with his award-winning Disney fan site, such as DoomBuggies.com, and he hosts the Mousetalgia podcast. He served a term on the Disneyland Creative Advisory Council and has worked closely with Disneyland and Walt Disney World to help develop and promote special events, including a recreation of Disneyland's Tahitian Terrace in 2012. This guy has even rubbed elbows with some of Disney's greatest legends, including Richard Sherman. And to top it all off, he will be making a special announcement on the show today that he hasn't shared anywhere else. Jeff Bam, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Wow, that's an impressive list.
Yeah, thanks for being here. You're impressive.
Oh, boy.
Tony, can you help kick off the interview for us?
Sure. Hey, Jeff, I have to say, I love your site. When I first started getting into creating my website, I was like, this guy's got a ton of stuff and information.
Thank you.
So I really have to say I'm hail DoomBuggies website.
Thank you very much.
Every time I go back there, I find some other nugget of information that I just go, wow. So.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, so let's start with, everybody's got this, you know, I'm sure you have a passion for Disney, otherwise I don't know why you have that great website. So tell us how your passion for Disneyland and Disney came about, and then how you really then focused on, you know, the Haunted Mansion and Disneyland.
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. My parents grew up in L.A. They met in L.A. They had friends in L.A., so they were... they grew up going to Disneyland. I guess it opened when they were teenagers so they could have dates there and everything. And so Disneyland has been important to just the family. You know, we grew up, they moved to the Bay Area, but we kept going back down for them to see their friends, and their friends had kids, and then we all became friends. And yeah, I mean, that's basically it. I was a Disneyland brat from far away. Yeah, I don't know how many times I went there as a kid, probably not more than a dozen, you know, growing up through junior high school, but it seemed like, you know, almost every year we take a vacation down to Disneyland. So I guess that's pretty much how my love of Disney started. Once I became, I'm an artist by trade, and that, you know, puts a little bit of love of animation and that type of stuff, you know, that came up too. And that's, Disney is one of the top artistic organizations in the world. So that had a little bit to do with it, I think. The internet, I was just at that age when the internet started to explode that I was really interested in kind of finding out about it. And so I joined a lot of news groups, and I was participating in like Rec Arcs Disney and Alt Disneyland and those news groups back in the late 80s. And so that kind of also helped me kind of gain my understanding of how fandom operates and how other people look at Disney and become Disney fans. So all that put together, more or less, is how my love of Disney developed. And then the Haunted Mansion, people sometimes are surprised by this, but I wouldn't even say for certain that the Haunted Mansion is my favorite Disney attraction or Disney, area of interests, although it's up there. And I think I started DoomBuggies more or less because, well, one reason was because I didn't know how to make websites. I got my design degree from San Jose State right before they really started introducing digital courses and digital design. And, you know, the internet was a very young thing when I was graduating from college. So I didn't really need to know anything about that. But I realized quickly that I would need to know that as a designer. So that was part of the deal. I was just teaching myself website design and, like I say, being part of the news groups and seeing what people were interested in. I just kind of thought, well, I'll teach myself to make a homepage and I'll do it about the Haunted Mansion because I have, you know, I had some, I guess I was kind of interested in the Haunted Mansion by then. I had, you know, the record, the famous story and song of the Haunted Mansion record. I had that a number of times growing up. I'd listen to it, break it, buy a new one, listen to it, scratch it up, buy a new one. So, you know, I've always done haunted houses through junior high and high school. I've always been on the planning committee for, you know, the high school haunted house and that kind of thing. So there's a little bit of that Halloween love inside of me too, that kind of contributed to it. So but that's how it all started.
Yeah, and I think there's certain attractions at, you know, Disneyland, Disney World, that Disney seems to have a better backstory on, more information about. You know, some attractions that there's, you know, if you do some research on, there's very little information. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think like the Haunted Mansion, you can really dig into, you know, that attraction. There's a lot of stuff out there that you can, you know, dwell over.
You know, that's true. That is true. And when I was starting to develop Dune Buggies, there were a few different resources that a lot of people are aware of nowadays that had some information about the Haunted Mansion. I think Randy Bright's book, what's that, Disneyland Inside Story, I think had a Haunted Mansion section, right, and a few other publications out there. I think the e-ticket was already out when I started doing Dune Buggies with Mark Davis interviews and some other interviews about the Haunted Mansion. So you're right. There's definitely more of a both an oral history and kind of a recorded history about the Haunted Mansion. I think, you know, it was one of those pirates sort of, but Haunted Mansion even more. It's one of those attractions that, you know, Walt Disney started it and he wasn't alive to finish it. And, you know, it also tells a story of Imagineering in a way, you know, how they kind of transitioned and how they made decisions. And there's some intrigue to the Haunted Mansion's history with some of the Imagineers not totally agreeing on how, what direction to take. So yeah, there's a lot of layers to that.
And there's myths and there's, you know, crazy, you know, internet lies, secrets and stuff. And,
sure.
Or let's say internet mistruths, maybe not lies.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to go off on a tangent a little bit here. Do you have a, you know, what's a good, you know, if I was a Haunted Mansion junkie and I wanted some more information, you have any recommendations on good books, Jeff?
Well,
off the top of your head.
Well, I mean, Jason Searle did a, he, well, we can maybe talk about that another later. But Jason Searle, actually, his book is really good. He did that. It's a lot of pictures, and he couldn't, you know, he's talked about how he wished he could have made a enormous coffee table book, but it's just not commercially feasible for something like just a single attraction. But that, it actually is a pretty good book. He had a lot of stuff in there that wasn't floating around. I've mentioned Disneyland Inside Story. The actually, the Nickel Tour has a really good, it's only 2 or 3 pages, but it's a really well-written section on.
That's a very hard book to get your hands on.
It is these days, yeah. But that has a good section.
I think I've seen it go as high as like $200 just recently.
Yeah. You're lucky if you find the Nickel Tour for under $100, or usually more than that. I mean, if you're just asking me and you're just someone digging into the Haunted Mansion and you don't know what to do, I'd say go get Jason Searle's book. You know, it's kind of the only book about the Haunted Mansion, but it's for what it is, which is kind of a movie tie-in and I don't know how to say it, not really a coffee table book, but you know, it's what they could do and think they could sell it and get it out to the maximum number of people. It's pretty good for what it is. So
now that you mentioned movie, I have to ask this. So I hear there's a rumor going around that they're going to do a Haunted Mansion reboot.
Well, I mean,
without Eddie Murphy this time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's not exactly a rumor. Guillermo del Toro came out and said he was going to make this movie. So he has said it. I've actually had a couple words with him about it, and he has expressed his desire to do this. I think it's a matter of, you know, he's a director and a producer and a creative genius with lots of options in front of him, right? And I think when the time is right for any specific given project, that's when he'll take it on. So I do believe he intends to make a Haunted Mansion movie, and I know that there's been progress made pre-development towards that, but that's, I think, all anyone knows. So
yeah, I think it'd be a great movie. I'd like to see it happen.
Yeah, definitely.
You started to talk about the beginnings of Doom Buggies. Can you, you know, did you think that it was ever going to take off like this?
Oh, no, I did not ever think it was going to take off like this. Actually, I mostly thought it was just going to be a, you know, internet fan page, like a fan site. You know, people were building them on GeoCities back then. Almost everything, anything in the world had a fan page, you know, and I kind of thought it would be something like that, or a repository, you know, for me, just to keep all my Haunted Mansion stuff, you know, filed away.
It was your Dropbox before such a thing existed.
That's a great way to put it. And then, you know, Disney took a special interest in the Haunted Mansion after the 30th anniversary or so. It started to gain, I think they saw what was going on with the fan community and online communities and how they were gravitating kind of to the Haunted Mansion as a intriguing part of, you know, Disneyland's history and Disney Parks history. And I think they started to have these special merchandise events, and it seems like Disney kept the Haunted Mansion in the media. You know, every year and a half or so, something would happen, and, you know, Disney itself would kind of bring it to the attention of everyone. And then, of course, culminating in the movie, and that more or less kind of made Doom Buggies into a destination, because the Walt Disney Pictures, we were in touch with them, and they wanted, you know, help with grassroots promotion, of course, and we were glad to see what they were doing and kind of get behind it. I mean, we didn't know how the movie would turn out, but it was exciting. You know, I kind of decided, well, you know, Disney is making a movie, and they're, you know, it's Eddie Murphy's going to be in it. At the time, you don't know what that means, you know, other than it's kind of a big deal. So we more or less threw our weight behind promoting it, and you know, I don't think people hold that against us at all. It's you know, they took us to the sets, and it's one of those movies that you can see just the love of the material and the history. If you take out kind of the story and just look at what they did and what they built and how they presented it and the types of special effects they designed and developed, there's a lot of love for the Haunted Mansion in that movie, whether it worked as a comedy or not. And so, you know, I'm supportive of that. But yeah, all that to say, the movie kind of brought a lot of people, the Doom Buggies, to a lot of people's attention, and that kind of, I guess that was kind of the what do you want to call it?
The silver lining.
Yeah, or the high point of Doom Buggies, kind of short existence so far. So.
Yeah, I do have to say that that last scene where they have all the busts on the roof of the car and they're driving away.
Yep.
I love that. That is still my favorite scene in the ride, is the singing busts. So, yeah, I've seen the movie maybe twice, kind of forced my husband to sit through it once. So, yeah.
Sure.
So thank you for having a place to have all that information.
Oh, sure. Of course. You know, and it was a lot of fun to work with. We got to meet with Don Hahn and Rob Minkoff and go down and visit the sets. And it was a lot of fun. We had a really good time kind of being a part of that whole promotional process.
Yeah, well, that must have been fun.
Yeah. So, Jeff, speaking of important people at Disney, I happened to come across some pictures of you with Richard Sherman. So can you tell us about that and how that all went down?
Yeah, I mean, this is like a Disney fan's dream, right? So, you know, I don't know Richard Sherman. I don't know him at all. I'm just a huge fan of the Sherman Brothers' work and everything they produced for the Disney Studios and Disney Pictures. And so Actually, about a month ago now, Kevin and Jody had, Kevin and Jody, they're Disney designers. They work primarily on the West Coast, but they design merchandise for the Disney parks. And they design Disneyland Sensational Float. They're kind of in the Disney art community. They had a party for Richard Sherman at their home. And somehow I was invited. I still don't exactly know how that happened, to be honest. But, a couple of my Mousetalgia co-hosts and I went down there. And it was just, it's one of those surreal moments where you kind of keep on nudging yourself and saying, am I really at someone's private birthday party for Richard Sherman? Like, he's over there, so I know this is really happening. And it was really a special time. We got to speak with him, and of course we went up and said, you don't know us, but we're huge fans. And that man is the most positive, and you listen to the music they wrote, and then you meet Richard Sherman and you think this really, you can feel the whole big circle of how do I say it? I mean, he was so sincerely glad that just random strangers that he didn't know were there to celebrate his life and enjoy being there. And it was just a really special time. I mean, it's hard for me to say to tell you even more about it. We sang to him and had a bunch of birthday cakes, and we had a big sing-along because there's a big piano in the parlor. So we sat down. I mean, it was similar to the D23 Expo show, except for it was just, a few of us in the living room. So.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Were you able to talk to him at all?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, there were people that were associated with the company there that kind of deserved to be there. And there were his close family and friends that were there that deserved to be there. And there were friends of the hosts. I guess you could consider me in that, there. And so I was supposed to be there, but I didn't feel like I should be sitting here taking a lot of time talking to Richard Sherman. You know what I mean? When it's family.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we were able to, he was greeting everyone, and we were able to talk to him for a few minutes and just express how much his music means to us, because, you don't even realize how important the Sherman Brothers are. I don't think anyone realizes it. I mean, even if you're a big Sherman Brothers fan, like, there's no part of anyone's childhood that hasn't in some way been brushed by the Sherman Brothers.
And what a story. Have you had a chance to watch The Boys, the movie that
Of course.
Made?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Oh,
it's
my goodness. My
a
husband,
wonderful
I,
movie.
I made my husband watch it, so he's even a Sherman Brothers fan now. What a great story. So if you guys listening out there, if you haven't seen it yet, it's called The Boys, and you can find it on Amazon.com for a great price. Usually it's a DVD, and it explains the whole story and the background and the relationship of the brothers. It was produced by their kids. So
Yeah. And that's a good, it's a good movie to watch before you go see Saving Mr. Banks in this Christmas, because I do know I'm really looking forward to Saving Mr. Banks. I don't know if you saw the clips before
they
showed at D23, but man, that movie is going to be exceptional. But at the same time, there's some things in that movie that are just not totally accurate. A lot of Mary Poppins was, to be honest, designed and developed and conceived by the Sherman Brothers. And there's some things inside of the movie that they might kind of hint that were happy accidents that really were kind of, so go watch The Boys and then watch Saving Mr. Banks. And then you can see that, then you can really get a good feel for the story of Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
I'm starting a movement. I think, that movie is one step in the direction of, I'd love to see a movie about the Disney brothers, Walt and Roy.
Oh, yeah.
So I hope this is one step closer to actually, having something like that done. So
wouldn't that be amazing?
I mean, I'm glad the Sherman Brothers, did their own little story, and there's the Walt El Grappo, but I really think, these two guys were, innovators way beyond their time.
Oh, yeah.
And I really love to see a story about them. Also, I know you mentioned that Kevin and Jody, I love their art. Every time I see it in the art at Disney Store, I'm like, oh, great, that's something else I have to buy now.
Totally, absolutely. And they're big Haunted Mansion fans. I mean, of course, that's how I kind of got to know them a little bit. But yeah.
Have they done any Haunted Mansion art lately?
Or let's see. What
they
is
did
the
some tiki
thing?
Stuff.
Yeah, they did the things for the tiki rooms, some things for the 50th anniversary. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I know they made not too long ago, for one of the Disney auctions, a tiny miniature Hatbox Ghost. They've done a lot of Hatbox Ghost work. And then they, of course, made the life-size one. I don't think they did. Well, for the Disney, for the 40th anniversary of the Haunted Mansion, they had a couple pieces also. So, you know, pretty much any time the Haunted Mansion comes up and Disneyland needs something, I think they still are go-to artists.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, something just popped into my head. I remember, I think there was a contest, maybe in the recent past, where people got to sleep or stay in the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's been a couple of years. I think that was a radio station, actually.
That's right.
Now I'm trying to remember exactly. And yeah, a family that won, they had the chance to stay in the Haunted Mansion overnight.
Crazy.
I remember the guy was live. I don't know if he was tweeting. I don't remember what social media existed back then, but he was giving updates every now and then about what they were doing, and that looked pretty cool. I know. I've never, in all the years of Doom Buggies, I've never had a backstage Haunted Mansion experience.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, there's all these opportunities that other people have had for, you know, dinners there or a walkthrough this way or that way, but I've never had the opportunity to do anything like that yet.
Yeah. Okay, you say that, but I was going to ask you about any meetings you may have ever had with Mr. Existencio, and I just found a picture of him and reading the caption for the DoomBuggies.com 10th anniversary event.
Oh, boy. Yeah, okay. Well,
we saw him at D23 and were just absolutely blown away. And I did not know that he had written the script for this until that event. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he was, he bounced around animation and WED until Walt finally figured out what X does best is write lyrics and scripts, and so that's kind of where he stuck for a while. Yeah, boy, the 10th anniversary of Doom Buggies, I could probably talk about that for a whole hour. Let's see. Well, we wanted to have a big party, right? So we wanted to have a big party. So we thought, well, let's see what we can do with Disneyland. So we ended up, we rented out the Blue Bayou for the evening. So they closed it a couple hours early and let us go in there. And we invited Existencio and Harriet Burns and Blaine Gibson and Bob Gurr, of course. They all came and spoke. Bob Gurr. It's not a party without Bob Gurr. So they all came and spoke about their various roles in the development of the Haunted Mansion. And we rented the Haunted Mansion for an hour or two. I can't remember exactly. The most expensive part of the night was actually hiring the hitchhiking ghosts, because those are apparently rare Disney characters that do not make appearances very lightly. So, but yeah. What kind of party is a Haunted Mansion party if you don't have the hitchhiking ghosts?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So, so we hired the hitchhiking ghosts. So yeah, it was a pretty, pretty fun shebang. I guess that's pretty much the story. So we had Disneyland worked with us to make a really fancy menu, the dessert was a little chocolate coffin with crumbled dirt of Oreo cookies. And yeah, it was just one of those, it kind of like a Disneyland Haunted Mansion event, right?
Yeah.
Except for we did it. And I think, you know, looking back at it, every time. I've done two large-ish fan events before. That was one of them, and recreating the Tahitian Terrace was the second one. Mm. And you finish something like that, and then you think, boy, never again. You know, this is because it is a lot of stress. It's not so much work. Disneyland does a lot of the work for you, but it's a lot of financial pressure and stress. You know, if you're not a Saudi prince or something and you just have the money to just do it, you kind of have to have faith that everything's going to go together and everything's going to work out. And so far, so good. So we've had a lot of success with our kind of Disneyland fun. So, yeah, that was the 10th anniversary. And I think you can find various sound clips and videos and things on YouTube from the talks that the Imagineers gave during our little dinner.
Oh, fine. I'll have to look for those, and we'll put them in the show notes so people can check them out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. I can't remember exactly all.
That picture alone was worth it, because it's Existencio and one of your attendees and the hitchhiking ghosts. And it's just...
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Oh, yeah. Actually, I think that's Existencio with... I think that's Harriet Burns he was posing with, but maybe not. You know, people were taking so many pictures... It's hard to say. So.
Am I allowed to say if it says here? Carrie Vines of the Haunted Mansion Collectibles blog.
Yeah, Carrie Vines. She took a lot of those photos. So, yeah. She was, in fact, she's part of Doomuggy's staff. So she actually was able to visit with X quite a bit because I think she was his chauffeur for the evening. So, yeah.
She looks quite starstruck in the picture.
We all quite starstruck.
So, Jeff, we also have found out that you spent some time and interviewed Tyrus Wong, who's 102 years old and a Disney legend and known for his, impressionistic feel of Bambi. So, what was it like meeting him?
Backstory.
Yeah, he's a Disney legend. He probably worked with Walt.
Well, actually, he didn't. That's the thing. He never met Walt Disney, which is interesting. He was only with Disney for a brief time. Now, I mean, in the course of 102 years, I don't know what you consider brief. And I don't actually know how long. But he started as an animator and kind of doing in-betweens and this and that. And he wasn't really very happy with kind of that kind of rote artwork. But he found his place when they let him just kind of be impressionistic and be a concept artist for Bambi. So... I guess the backstory to my conversation with him, which wasn't very involved, is that I live up in the Bay Area where the Walt Disney Family Museum is located. And for my my own podcast, Mousetalgia, we regularly cover the Walt Disney Family Museum. So I was there to cover the press preview of his there's a new Tyrus Wong exhibition that just opened this week. It's going through the beginning of next year. And Tyrus was there to help promote it. And so, you don't ever really know. I saw him at the Walt Disney Family Museum when he had turned 100 years old, and he really didn't have much to say. He's kind of waved at people. So I think he has a hard time hearing kind of, because his daughter was there to help kind of explain to him what people were asking him. But man, that guy has a lot of stories. For 102 years old, which of us are going to make it to be 102 years old to begin with, but he looks like he could just be, going like the Energizer Bunny for decades. I mean, the guy is sharp and he had great stories, and he talked a lot about his childhood and his father. He kind of talked about how he had a strict upbringing and they didn't have, and one of the stories he told was he didn't growing up even have money for papers or paintbrushes, but his father really wanted him to learn Chinese a brushwork. So they used just old newspapers and water. So he would paint so he could see it with the water soak into the newspaper. And then as it dried, it would just disappear and he'd keep on learning to do brushstrokes just with water and newspaper. So he talked about that a little bit. The kind of fun thing is, I covered the press event. It kind of overlapped with the VIP preview. So then all these famous animators and authors start walking in. Pete Docter walks in, and all these Pixar directors. And it was just kind of a nice evening to see how everyone really respects what Tyrus Wong did. And just for Bambi, that was his extent of his Disney work, I believe. Then Bambi, and then he went on to do other things. And but he's still a Disney legend because it was such a departure and such a strong. Like there is no other movie like Bambi, you know what I mean? And in fact, at Pixar, they talk about how Finding Nemo was directly inspired by Bambi because they have, the undersea world is this lush, involved, crazy place, right? And kind of like a forest. But they wanted to know, how can we describe being under the sea without needing to show all this crazy detail? So they really referred a lot to Tyrus Wong's work in Bambi when they were trying to develop the look and feel of the backgrounds for Finding Nemo. So, it was a great event. And then an interesting thing is a couple of days later, the Walt Disney Family Museum had a kite day, kind of celebrating, because Tyrus Wong is also famous for designing these amazing, intricate kites. And he still, I think still to this day, every last Saturday of the month in Santa Barbara goes out and flies kites on the beach, I believe still. And so he's a big kite designer and he loves to fly them. And so he was out, he was out there flying kites with the public. And then I had a little bit more chance to walk up to him and just, chit chat about, you know, how much I appreciate what he does. And actually, he talked to my daughter quite a bit about kites because she doesn't know, you know, art direction from anything, but she knows she loves flying kites. And so she just thought that was amazing that here's this man who creates these amazing detailed dragon kites. And so, yeah, that was a lot of fun. He's, like I say, you would think he was, I don't know, 7 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's just, you know, sharp and has a lot to say and just a really happy and optimistic guy.
Yeah. I was saying, you know, after going to the expo that, you know, a lot of the older people that did work with Walt and, you know, were Imagineers, you know, they're getting up in age and, you know, somebody should be, you know, capturing their, you know, their history and their, you know, their
yeah,
you know, stuff absolutely. With Walt and, you know, so that we have, you know, records of this information and this, you know, these great people because, you know, they're getting old. They may not be on the planet, you know, forever.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Walt's peers and contemporaries mm-hmm. are not many. And so, and that's one thing we love about the Walt Disney Family Museum up here because they do a lot of special talks and panel discussions and that type of thing with both with contemporaries of Walt and also, you know, historians and directors that work currently that can have inside information or insight into the people that worked with Walt Disney. So,
I've, you know, you talk about the Family Museum. I work for a software company that's located in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And each time I go there, I never really seem to make the time to go to the museum. But I think I'm going to have to, you know, do that next time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Do what you can to get there. I mean, I'm definitely a Family Museum apostle. I think it's a great place. It's mm-hmm. People just, they go there and no one leaves without something different about their understanding of Walt Disney or their appreciation for what Walt Disney did or,
I hear, you know, everybody tells me towards the end of the tour or whatever, it's the last couple things that really just brings everybody to tears.
To tears?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to bring your Kleenex. I mean, because they take you through this story, right, of how Walt Disney essentially changed the face of popular culture in the world. And, you know, and then they leave you with kind of a whole wall of remembrance of just representative samples of all the editorial cartoons and radio messages and condolences that people expressed after he died. And yeah, it's a moving place all the way from beginning to end. It's just a moving experience.
Yeah.
And since you gentlemen were talking about the Disney Museum, did I understand correctly that you either are now or you were previously on the board at the Disney Family Museum?
Oh, no. I'm not in any way associated with Disney at all. I'm just a fan like everyone else. I did briefly for a year, I think it was 2003, I served on the Disneyland Creative Advisory Council, which is, it was just a group of Disney enthusiasts that Disneyland selected. I think they asked for, I'm trying to remember how I got selected. I think they asked for essays to kind of determine who to choose to be on this council. And it was primarily a kind of a high level focus group, I guess you could say. They would run merchandise and attractions and entertainment and food offerings and ideas and concepts by us. And we would, like, you know, just kind of try it all out and give our opinions. And they would take us into the park and take us kind of backstage and show us this and that. And it was really interesting. You know, to this day, I don't really know how, and it wasn't a very long-lived program. I think they were maybe 4 years they did it. So I am not really sure. It felt more like they were kind of just giving us treats and surprises than really doing a whole lot of research. But be that as it may, perhaps they got what they needed out of us. I don't know. You know, like I say, it was kind of just a really intense focus group. But I was part of that.
No, it sounds fantastic. I'm sorry that I had that wrong. I apologize, but
oh, don't apologize. Yeah.
Oh, Krista.
I did the notes. I apologize.
I was completely going to take it, Krista.
Krista,
do you want to take the next question?
Yeah, I think I'll take the next question. You? Well, Jeff, we understand you have an exciting announcement to make here on the show. So can you go ahead and just let our listeners know all about that?
Sure. See, now I'm on the spot, so this kind of has to happen, I suppose. But I've been planning it for quite a while now, so I'm pretty confident that Doom Buggies is actually going to start a podcast, and it will launch Halloween of 2013, which is coming up quickly. So, hooray! Yay, big news. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. So, you know, the format is pretty well, I have it pretty well figured out, but the thing about this kind of raises an interesting topic, which is Haunted Mansion fandom. And, Haunted Mansion fans are unified by a lot of things, but they're also very disparate in a lot of ways. And you have goths who, by and large, love the Haunted Mansion and kind of the Bat-Stay crowd. You have Disney history fans who love everything Wed and 60s, and the Haunted Mansion fits right in there. You have Disney Parks fans who just think it's cool. You have Halloween fans who kind of like the haunted house angle. So there is a lot of different kind of, I don't know if you want to say factions, but types of Haunted Mansion fans. And so I'm trying to make a podcast that is generally appealing to a lot of different kinds of people. And so all that to say, the format may shift a lot in the early days as I kind of learn what people are looking for and hoping to hear. But I suspect there will be a regular Disneyland, Haunted Mansion history segment. I suspect we will have interviews with people that know this and that about the Haunted Mansion. And, of course, we're going to have a news. It seems like, I always, even to myself, after Doom Buggies is 15 years old now, and to myself, I feel like, what am I going to do tomorrow? There's going to be a shortage of news about the Haunted Mansion, and there'll be nothing to say. I'm not talking day by day, but Disneyland does actually regularly throughout the year, something Haunted Mansion happens. They know that it's a fan favorite, and they know that it's, a good commercial venture for them. So the Haunted Mansion always has something going on. So we'll have a news segment. All that to say, there'll be news about the latest merchandise or the latest special event, or like right now, just I think today they announced changes coming to, or at least this week, changes coming to the Haunted Mansion holiday overlay here at Disneyland. They're going to have new projection effects in the stretching room. So, there's always something going on with the Haunted Mansion.
It's a really big deal about this time of year with the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland. So for our Disney World listeners, maybe that would be something, too, if you could tell us real quick about the whole Nightmare Before Christmas and what they do out there at Disneyland with the Haunted Mansion, because we don't have that here.
And then sure. You could tell us why we don't have it here.
But we have the queue line.
Yeah,
to end all queue lines, supposedly.
Yeah. I'll
pass the queue line.
I will say that most Haunted Mansion fans will acknowledge that Walt Disney World's Haunted Mansion is pretty much heads and tails superior to Disneyland's Haunted Mansion, just in terms of the interior enhancements they've made over the past 5 years or so.
Wait. We had this discussion before we got you on, and we feel the complete opposite.
That's interesting. Explain. Now, let me say a minute. I'm not necessarily talking about the queue. Which I have never experienced your queue, and I kind of take queues as a whole different world of imagineering. They're trying to find ways to keep people entertained and whatever.
Off their iPods and iPhones and Blackberries.
Yeah, so whatever, I'll let that be. But I'm interested, so tell me how your conversation went.
Go ahead. Anybody want to start? Anybody want me to start?
I think we were just, it was the comparison of, which one do we like better. I think it came because I asked Tony. I know that my husband and I like yours better, mainly because we know as we ride through it that Walt touched these items and this was his brainchild. And, for my husband, that just has so much more meaning than anything else. So that's for him. But Tony. Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I don't know. It just has a different feel. I think yours is smaller, so you really feel like you're in a haunted mansion. Our ceilings are higher, and you don't really always... Well, there are scenes that you're not supposed to be, you know, inside a haunted mansion. When you're in the graveyard, you're outside, so it has a higher ceiling. So maybe that's, you know, I think yours feels more intimate than ours does.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well...
Oh, and I hate our piano player. I do. It's very herky-jerky, mm-hmm. and you can actually hear the little...
Clicking of the keys?
It's not even the keys. You hear the little clicking of him moving, and it drives me crazy. I'm like, buy some WD-40 already.
Okay, well, that's interesting. You know, the best thing I can say... You know, I don't know. I don't know if you want feedback, because I don't want to burst any bubbles
here. Go ahead.
Think in general, I've only been to Walt Disney World 3 times. I'm not an expert over there by any stretch of the imagination, but I do generally feel, and I think this is something that people are starting to discover over the past few years. Disneyland does have Walt's fingerprints on it, you know, and even to this day, you can. Somehow you can sense that in many places and in many ways. So to that end, the big picture, I totally concur about that. Although Haunted Mansion in particular, you know, Walt's fingerprints are not as much on the attraction as it is. You kind of like to hope it was. But really, if he was alive and he ended up calling the shots, it probably would have been more of either a walkthrough, or he may have been overruled by his... bean counters, and it may have ended up making it a ride, but it probably would have been significantly different. You know, it's really the brain. What you see now is really kind of the best they could hash out between Mark Davis and I don't know, maybe Claude Coates. You know, it's kind of we're going to have this in there and that in there, and we're going to make it work. And they didn't really know if this is the best solution. So, you know, I don't want to be like saying I know the answer to how the Haunted Mansion would have been if Walt was around. But the reason I think personally that Walt Disney World is a little bit more preferable, in my opinion, and I think a lot of fans think this, is because the Imagineers have just put a lot of effort and work into continuing to make the effects a little bit better and another step closer to what they see as, you know, realism or more. Yeah. What today's crowd wants to see in an effect. And I appreciate that. You know, your hitchhiking ghosts are, I think that's a pretty cool effect personally myself. You know, I'll even step back and say, but there is something really cool about the carnival stiff, like hitchhiking ghosts in the mirror effect that we still have. You know, there's, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to miss that when it's gone. You know, I'm going to think, oh, you know, to see the little head like shake back and forth. And you know, that there's something very rootsy about that. And you know, the Haunted Mansion is at its core a dark ride and a spook house. And, to see the robots, you know, I don't want to see everything turn into a projection in a movie. You know, I like the robots in there and feeling like there's some kind of a old school monster that has gears in it, you know. And so I appreciate that. But at the moment, like your eyes in the wallpaper that kind of like the wallpaper comes to life. That's, to me, that's amazing, you know, and we don't really have that kind of atmosphere in our Haunted Mansion. But, you know, who am I to say? I love them both. I will agree that I like the architecture and the claustrophobic kind of feel that our Haunted Mansion has. It does, you walk up to it and it looks like, oh, this is a, you know, someone's majestic but intimate home, right. You know. And then when you go in there, you kind of have that mindset that, well, it's in this building. And, you know, you would be shocked at how many people actually think the Haunted Mansion exists in that building, you know. And they kind of ask me, well, where was this, you know, this part, because I can't quite, they try to piece together how it could have all been inside that little house. And you know, I mean, people really think that it's kind of interesting.
Pixie dust. We just tell people when they really try to figure stuff out on this side of the coast, you know, pixie dust.
That's a great answer.
Hey, Jeff, have you been into any of the other haunted mansions, like Disneyland Paris, Tokyo?
Nope. No, yeah. Just Walt Disney World and Disneyland. Yeah.
Okay, so the overlay. So why don't you think we have one?
Well, you know what? I don't have any idea. What I hear and what I believe, this makes sense, is that you get less of that stuff in Walt Disney World because you just have world travelers and people, you know, people want to come and see the Haunted Mansion, and they may be coming once in their lifetime. And Disneyland is really overrun.
You can say overrun really, by locals.
It's not really over. I don't actually believe that, but it has a high percentage, higher percentage of locals that come and use it as a, you know, they want to see, well, let's try it this way and let's try it that way. And, you know, the whole Haunted Mansion holiday, it still is a big debate amongst Doom Buggies fans. You know, is it a plus? Is it a minus? Is it a neutral? You know, there's no real answer to that. I kind of love it. It's not the Haunted Mansion anymore. It's a totally different thing. You know, it's much brighter in there when they run the Haunted Mansion holiday. It's not as much of a dark ride as it is more of a, you know, Fantasyland type ride. And, well, I guess those are dark rides, but you know what I mean? It's not as dim and claustrophobic, as you've said. It's much more open and light and bright. But it's, you know, it's Tim Burton's characters that are... you know, and they're there, and they're in life size. It's just, it's hard to find a reason why that should not exist, you know. And if the best way they could do it is to overlay it into the Haunted Mansion, then, hey, you know, go for it. It does take up a full, almost 30% of the Haunted Mansion's operating year when you include the time that it's shut down to install it and take it out. It's a big chunk of the year is Haunted Mansion holiday. Yeah, over 25%. So,
Now, when does it shut down? Because I understand that it's, for one reason or another, it's going to be shut down this weekend when there's a group of us going to be out there.
I think so. Usually, well, I don't know if that's for this or not. Usually early September, so it could be. I'm not sure if they're doing it quite yet, but maybe they are. And then it opens usually when Halloween time starts, which is, I don't know, end of September. I'm not exactly, I'm kind of vague on how it goes. And then it runs all the way through the first week of January, and then it's closed for another 2 weeks to pull it out and get it started again. So, a good part of the operating year is taken up by either the installation or the deconstruction or the running of the Haunted Mansion holiday overlay.
That's crazy. Well, hey, Walt Disney World, why don't you just try it once? And let us tell you what we think, because we have a tendency to be overrun by locals also. Let's not lie.
At least overlay the outside or something. I mean, throw us a bone.
Well, we are getting Jack and Sally this year. Everybody's excited and we're getting... Well, we've never had them before, so...
Oh, really? Oh, that is exciting.
Yes, yeah.
The other thing, too, is, you know, about your Haunted Mansion is your stretching room actually... You know, stretches.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they both stretched, but we go. Yeah, we do descend. Yeah. I didn't. You know, I didn't notice a big difference in that in experiences between Walt Disney World and us. Although I will say, your new audio super sound is heads and tails cooler than the quadraphonic sound inside of our Haunted Mansion. But again, you know, it's you kind of old school. You hear the kind of tinny speakers like, here I am. No, here I am over here. No, here I am over there. You know, it's, you know, one of those old Haunted Mansion, old cool haunted house things.
Kind of like the Disney Parks podcast.
Yeah.
So. Oh, there you go. Hey, I do audio for a living. I like that stuff. I like it when everybody tries to, everything's tweaked and everything is, you know, has effects on it. And sometimes.
But even as you're exiting our, you know, stretching room, you still hear those faint little, you know, voices that you really don't get in, you know, California.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's pretty super cool. You know, like I say, if it comes down to it and the 200 mansions are falling off a cliff, I might have to, you know, I might have to save Walt Disney World.
Oh, my goodness. We won't tell anybody. We won't tell anybody.
That's okay. I mean, don't ask
me. I'd be probably the one pushing hours, but that's okay.
I was going to say, don't ask me if both parks are falling off a cliff, because might be a different answer.
Be different, yeah.
Well, if you're going to go there, we just came from there, and I still like the Disneyland feel. I like the small, intimate park. It feels like a park.
Well, Tony, we're short.
Well, that's
true,
too.
It feels more life-size to us.
And I have to say this, every single park bench in the world is in Disneyland. There are no other benches that exist outside.
He's jealous about that.
I counted 17 benches around the hub. I was like, we don't have four.
He was trying to get us to help him count. He wanted us all to walk through Disneyland and count all benches. Of the benches.
It's crazy.
I mean, I don't, you know, I don't recall when I was at Walt Disney World noticing that, but you know, it also that could go to the locals' question also. People come to Disneyland to sit and watch shows, possibly more, you know, I mean, in the hub and just on the street, possibly more than, you know, vacationing families that want to, you know, get in the park and get on attractions as they might over in Orlando. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm writing a letter, dear Disneyland. Please send us half, just half your benches. We'd be fine. We'd be fine. We'd have at least half. It's just crazy.
All right, I don't want to end the comparison, but Tony, are you ready for your quick fire question?
I am ready. Are you ready, Jeff?
Let's hear them.
All right. Favorite park?
Disneyland.
Favorite character?
Oh, wow. Yikes. Oh, I know this is supposed to be quick fire. Okay. It's got to be Briar Rose.
Okay. Favorite restaurant?
Did you say restaurant?
Yes.
Napa Rose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. All right. I got squirrel. Favorite attraction?
Oh. Does it have to exist currently?
Nope.
Well, I will put a disclaimer on this by saying I do not have a favorite attraction, but my answer is going to be Alien Encounter, with the version where the alien escaped and bit into someone and its blood sprayed all over everyone.
Really?
All right. That was awesome.
Wow.
All right.
It was awesome because it was unlike anything I'd ever experienced in my life at a Disney park. And I remember thinking, really? This just happened?
And why did they have me strapped into the seat?
Yeah, and I've never seen the Stitch version, so I don't know. I was there in that moment in time. So, but you know, that's not true. My favorite attraction is Adventure Through Inner Space when I was a kid. Ooh. Wait, that's not true either. My favorite attraction is Space Mountain at Disneyland because it's awesome.
Okay, do you remember we talked about not overthinking this?
Okay, I've overthought it. Let's go on.
Favorite resort?
Disneyland Resort.
Any resort?
What's that?
Any favorite?
Oh, you mean, we just
California have Adventure, Disneyland, Paradise.
Do you mean like hotel?
Yes.
Because it's different, slightly different perspective in California.
Yeah.
Disneyland Hotel, for sure.
Yeah. Favorite Disney snack?
Oh, yeah, that would be the Bengal Barbecue Banyan Beef Skewer.
Okay. First time at a Disney park?
I was too young to remember. I was too young to remember. I had to be probably 5 or 6.
Okay. Then you don't remember who's on that trip?
Well, I know who it was. I know it was my friends, Christine and Robin and my sister, when we were little kids running around Disneyland Park, but I don't remember it specifically. I just know of it.
Okay. And how far do you live from any Disney park now?
350 miles.
And when is your next Disney trip?
Oh, I think I'm going to Club 33 in about 3 weeks.
Very nice.
Ooh. Yes.
Some of us have recently eaten there, so we know.
Awesome.
We know the experience.
Excellent.
We in our house, it is considered the most expensive meal we have ever eaten as a married couple.
Well, in most houses, I would think it would be that. Yeah, my wife and I do not typically dine out at anything that costs any more than Club 33 either. So, you know, and it used to be this thing where whenever you would go to Club 33, you would get into the park for free, right? That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
So you would feel like, well, you know, I'm paying to get into the park and getting this free great dinner. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they've kind of changed that now, and members only get a certain number of free passes. Yeah. So it's not often that your reservation includes admission. So then it got really expensive really fast.
Yeah. Have you been there? I've been there for breakfast. I've been there for dinner. Have you been there for lunch?
Oh, yeah. In fact, you know, breakfast is always only special events, so you kind of have done something special to be there for breakfast.
Yeah.
But I've been there for lunch and for dinner.
Okay. The breakfast wasn't too bad. I was just recently on Adventure by Disney before the expo, so.
Yes, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Lunch, they usually have a buffet, and it's usually this huge seafood buffet with all this amazing seafood, I guess, and cheese and, you know, all kinds of amazing things. And this amazing legendary dessert buffet, too. And then you get your entree. So, lunch is pretty special.
Yeah. I've never had a bad meal there, so I don't think it's possible. Well, good. Have fun.
Thank you.
You'll unfortunately don't think of us. Think of the good food.
I'll try to do that.
Think of your wife.
Yes. We have to say thank you for coming on and doing this and chatting with us, Jeff, because
of course
you got lots of good stories. So,
well, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. Tons of fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Call the Disney Parks Podcast at 407-476-8898 to leave a message 24 hours a day. You can also email us questions and comments at thecrew@disneyparkpodcast.com. And you can find us at Facebook at facebook.com/DisneyPK Podcast. Follow us on Twitter for all you Twitter lovers at DisneyPK Podcast. Help us out by subscribing to us on iTunes. Rate us, review us, leave us a little note, and we will respond to you there as well. You can also find us on Stitcher Radio On Demand. Visit us at Disney Parks Podcast, where you can find all of our shows, our show notes, and leave us a comment. Join us next Tuesday for more news, rumors from all around the Disney parks, and we'll see you in the parks. I am Tony Casanova from Disney by the Numbers, and I ask that you stop by DisneyByTheNumbers.com, where you can read our news, our blog, see videos, sign up for our newsletter, and check out our photos and all the other good stuff that we have at DisneyByTheNumbers.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/DBTN page. I know that's a little hard, but you can follow us there. You can follow us on Twitter at DBTN. You can find us on YouTube by searching for Disney by the Numbers. You can sign up for our newsletter at DisneyByTheNumbers.com or go out to iTunes and search for WDW DBTN Facts. And you can go out to iTunes and get our iPhone app, which you can use on your iPhone, iPad, and iPod. Check out WDW DBTN Facts on iTunes.
Hi, this is Krista from DisneyWays.com, where our mission includes bringing you exciting Disney news and information that's also sprinkled with Disney Ways treasures you won't find anywhere else. We want to help answer your Disney-related questions. We do post every single day, so we hope you subscribe to our updates by email. We do have monthly prizes for our subscribers, so you're automatically entered just for subscribing. And you'll be kept up to date with our coming events and all the things we have going on at Disney Ways. We can also be found at Twitter at Disney Ways, and we do have a YouTube channel that's a work in progress, but we'd love to have you there too. So check us out on the web.